Our assigned lectionary gospel reading for this day comes from the fourth chapter of Luke. And this story takes place immediately after Jesus is baptized, and then he spends the 40 days in the wilderness. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Let me begin by stating how appreciative I am for the invitation to speak today from this pulpit to deliver my State of the Congregation address. Now you know why I don't start sermons with a joke. On the occasion of our annual congregational meeting after worship today, I want to take this opportunity to talk about something a bit less controversial than the state of our democracy at the moment. And while this may not sound too exciting, I want to address the importance of an organization's mission statement. Whether for a business, a nonprofit organization, a civic group, or a church, a mission statement can be a critical tool in providing vision, necessary vision, or at least it should be. And a good mission statement helps identify and define who an organization is, their purpose and function, their reason for existence, and what it is they hope to accomplish. Now, this is especially true as it pertains to providing guidance and making decisions about future priorities and direction. And you may be familiar with the mission statement used by the company where you work, or used to work, or at some other organization of which you are involved. Here's a few local examples. Tulsa Public Schools. Do you know their mission statement? "We will provide quality learning experiences for every student, every day, without exception." You know, as it turns out, they got that statement from nearby Kendall Whittier Elementary School, who in theirs go on to add, "No excuses." Kendall Whittier Incorporated, KWI, whose primary work involves running the local food pantry, to which we contribute on the first Sunday of every month, and along with their educational grow garden, which is across the street from Educare near Kendall Whittier Elementary, and the Tipton Community Garden. And by the way, their executive director is church member and now city councilor, Laura Dechter Wright. Lori is not here today. KWI's mission statement is a homegrown organization incorporating self-sufficiency for our neighbors through food security, nutritional health, and well-being. Now one more. Kendall Whittier Main Street works to promote and restore Kendall Whittier, our neighborhood, as a thriving, walkable, and welcoming community for living and working. Have we not indeed seen many improvements over the past even 5 years? And I love all of these mission statements. They are very effective. But let's look now at how a mission statement can be applied to a church. Now, concerning the role of the church in the 21st century, the current understanding is that the primary focus of any congregation should be missionally focused, moving away from the institutional maintenance model. What that means is that as a community of faith, we should focus more on being a mission outpost in our community and beyond than focusing on just mere survival and just taking care of ourselves, as important as that is. Institutional maintenance, which is characterized by an inward focus as opposed to an outward focus, is an approach to church life that far too many mainline denomination congregations find themselves in today. And yes, even with a strong guiding principle of social justice, College Hill, with its facilities and its staff, are still ingrained in this model. And while most churches have a mission statement, chances are it's rarely emphasized or even known by any of its members. Or it is so broad and vague that it doesn't really do much good in identifying the particulars of that congregation. And that's why our session regularly takes a good close look at our College Hill mission statement to see if it is still accurate and current, useful and effective, and if it has been and can be so during the coming year. And we believe our mission statement is of great value. Therefore, we make sure it's printed every single week in our worship bulletin and in our monthly newsletter, our Facebook page, on our website, and other places. And I put it on the cover of today's worship bulletin. I'd like you to take a look at it now. Because the mission of College Hill Presbyterian Church is, and please read the bullet points along with me, build an inclusive community of faith, receive and openly share the love of God, and reach out with a compassionate voice for peace and justice. Using this as our guide, our annual session retreat 1 year ago developed a 3-year strategy of primary goals for our congregation. And you will see them printed in the 2018 annual report during the meeting after the service. And you have probably seen this before. This is how it also looks. It's in the fellowship hall every single week. I encourage you to read it. Not from there, because I'm sure we'd all need an eye exam. I want to focus on something, the verbs. Action verbs in a mission statement are always an important clue as to an organization's function. And ours include build, receive, share, reach out. And each of these has a very strong biblical base. Our mission statement includes 3 points of specific emphasis, which do indeed help define our identity of who we are and what we hope to do and be as a congregation. And they also help us focus and give direction to our ministry efforts, those things which we believe God is calling us to do in this community as a community of faith, in this specific place and time. And I bring all of this up today for a couple of reasons. First, it's crucial that we remind ourselves of our calling as a congregation. And also, today's assigned gospel lesson includes Luke's declaration of what can best be understood as Jesus' mission statement. Luke states in chapter 4 that after Jesus is baptized and spends 40 days being tempted in the wilderness, he returns to the region of Galilee and began to teach in their synagogues. And it was during a visit to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth that Luke tells us that Jesus stood up and read from the Hebrew scroll of Isaiah. And the passage that he chose to read was from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then Jesus sits down and proclaims, which according to Luke is Jesus' very first sermon, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Talk about courageous and to the point. Now Luke's overarching understanding of what he believes to be the core of the gospel message is defined in this passage of Jesus quoting from the prophet Isaiah. Luke then uses this to inform every other part of his unfolding story. So to understand Luke's Jesus, we must interpret his account in light of his perspective. So let's briefly look at that. We learn that Luke's overarching understanding, and therefore the paramount drive of Jesus' mission and ministry, was for the liberation of the oppressed and the impoverished. Now, concerning the implications of this, biblical commentator Carol Lakey Hess makes the following important observation. Whatever we take to be the heart of the gospel will be the central shaping force in our life of faith. Let me repeat that again. Whatever we take to be the heart of the gospel will be the central shaping force of our life of faith. So the author of Luke instructs his readers to place this text as the central concern of Jesus' teaching. And in today's passage, we learn what Jesus came to do. And it was not to die on the cross. Insofar as we measure then our lives against this, we are following Jesus' ministry. The implications of this text are that if we are going to study, reflect, interpret, and follow Luke's gospel, as we will throughout this year, we should keep coming back to this text to measure our work. So in a nutshell, Luke's Jesus underscores salvation and good news in terms of acts of both divine and human compassion, mercy, empowerment, and social justice. Perhaps this is why the Gospel of Luke is the favorite of the four Gospels for many of us progressive types. Now here's the correlation to us. This congregation, much like Luke, generally tends to have a similar overarching understanding of Jesus' mission and ministry. That is why our mission statement centers around ministries of inclusion and community, love, and compassion, and social justice, not about getting into heaven. We believe that the liberating work of the Holy Spirit working in and through this congregation to be the core guiding principle of our mission and ministry. So we, like Luke, believe that the Spirit of God that called Jesus and therefore calls to us the following: to be an agent of mercy to the downtrodden in the world, to bring good news to the poor, to bring release to those that feel that life itself is holding them captive, sight to those who cannot see through the darkness, freedom to those who are oppressed by cultural norms or life's circumstances, and the possibility of a new beginning for all who have stumbled or failed. It is valid then to compare and contrast Luke's understanding of Jesus' mission and ministry to our own congregation's mission statement, our budget priorities, our commitments, our activities, and our volunteer opportunities. So keep all of this in mind as we review our annual report, which outlines our ministry efforts over this past year. So I encourage all of us then to reflect upon the following. What can you and I do each and every day? What can we do together to build an inclusive community of faith? What can you and I do each and every day, and what can we do together to receive and openly share the love of God? And what can you and I do each and every day, and us together, in order to reach out with a compassionate voice for peace and justice? And for those of you who want extra credit, and I know some of you do, think about what you would include in a mission statement for your life. And in my opinion, while there is still much to do, including transformational work, the state of the congregation is very good indeed. Amen.